I was sharing in the prayer meeting just to experience the last few days. When you go away for a month or so, you think that things, you'll just come back and pick up where things left off. But how many of you know your car battery runs down and loses some of its oomph? And so does the motorbike battery. I disconnected the motorbike battery thinking I'd be good. Oops. Am I on mute? Are you changing batteries?
My batteries
run out. I need a jump start. And so that's pretty much what happened. John Ledbetter was kind enough to lend me a battery charger, which worked for the car. But the motorbike battery, I thought I would just leave it sitting there and it would be fine. I just thought I'd just pick up where it left off. But friends, how many of you know if you just leave your faith unattended, you actually run down? Things run down. And so I ended up trying to boost this thing and battery charge and think, well, there you go. And then I switch on the lights and obviously more output was going than income or input. So the battery continued to run down and then I was push starting it down the street. It must look pretty scary, you know, this guy running down the street trying to at the same time turn the key and push the button, you know, to get the thing going. But finally, things were working I think this new year, as we look ahead, we often need a little bit of a kickstart or a jumpstart that God wants to infuse some faith into our lives and fire up our faith. And Old Year's Night was a vivid picture for me. How many of you know what glow sticks are? Okay. Ooh. Now, you see, our kids had glow sticks and they were playing with the glow sticks and for whatever reason, the Old Year's Night celebration, there were no fireworks, but these kids were pretending they were fireworks because they were throwing these glow sticks up in the air and then going, bang! South African fireworks, yeah. But it was something of a fading thing because my daughter put a bangle on my arm, a glow stick, and made a bangle out of it, and it was really pretty pink. I'm colorblind, but it was pretty pink. Was it red? It was red. My daughter tells me it was red. But anyway, so the next morning, I'm in this church service and at the church, the site that we led, and I'm busy worshiping, and I look up, and I've still got the bangle on my arm, and it's faded. It's just, now it just looks like a real dull pink, but it looked like a pink bangle to me. I was looking at this thing, and I just suddenly felt, you can't take the old into the new. It's a fading thing. It's a passing thing. And the old is gone, the new has come, and God wants to make all things new. All things new. And something more glorious. Not a fading glory, but something that's going to go from glory to glory. That's why the scripture says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? It's going to take eyes of faith. It's going to take eyes of faith to perceive it. Because God is at work. New wineskins for new wine. Old rags for new. You've got to take on the new rags. The new rags. You've got to take on the new garment. And to be made new in the attitude of our minds. To put on the new self. To be created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. I asked John to bring me a candle snuffer. And I don't think you got the text this morning. But how many of you know what a candle snuffer is? Oh, you got one. I could have sent one to the Dales and asked them. Okay, a candle snuffer is just this pointy little thing that snuffs out the candle. It captures and destroys the oxygen so the candle goes out. So then I saw some of these in the church service. I was at Ed Strong. Some of you have met him. Most of you would know Ed and Heidi Strong. The picture's up on the board. But they're one of the sites that they've planted out of their church. And I was there, this little Anglican cathedral. Well, a little Anglican, I wouldn't call it a cathedral, a little Anglican chapel. That's more like it. And they had candle snuffers. And so I looked at these and I thought, sometimes we feel like something's going to snuff the life out of us. We just feel, I'm just waiting for a candle snuffer to come. And we just kind of think this big candle snuffer is going to come over us and just going to extinguish us. And I felt God speaking to me and just saying, you might be physically, spiritually, or emotionally fragile, even this morning. You think, well, it's great for these guys leading up front, yay, but I'm like languishing in the back row. But it's God's saying that here is my servant who I've chosen. This is from Matthew 12, quoting from Isaiah. Here is my servant who I have chosen, speaking of Jesus, the one I love, in whom I delight. I'll put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he's brought justice through to victory. In his name, the nations will put their hope. In his name, the nations will put their hope. Friends, we are fragile, but you see, Jesus handles us with care. And so in Matthew 12, Jesus is quoting the prophet Isaiah's servant songs, a whole number of servant songs. And Jesus is that suffering servant. He came as a suffering servant. And when we look at him on the cross, and that's come through strongly this morning, we see justice and mercy meet at the cross. Justice is served, but also mercy flows mingled down. Our God is a God full of mercy, full of love and compassion. A God of faithfulness without injustice, good and upright is he. Good and righteous is he. And I know he'll put things right. You see, I think this nation has faced finest hours before, but the finest hour is yet to come. The finest hour for the church, the finest hour for you, God's people, your finest hour is yet to come. It's like God's hasn't changed. God's the same. God's at work. And the other picture that came to mind is of low places. There's some flooding in the nation, I think, on the eastern coast. But water flows to the low places. If you're in a low place this morning, I pray that will be a revelation for you. God loves to meet you when you're in a low place. Even when you humble yourself, you bring yourself into a low place. God meets you at that low place. God wants to, he specializes in making the desert to bloom. That's God at work. I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Friends, you might be in a wasteland this morning. You might feel I'm in a desert place. I feel like I'm dry. I feel like I'm parched. I feel like, where's God? And yet God loves to minister to you in those places. And Jeremiah 29:11 is such a familiar verse, but we normally stop with that verse 11 instead of verse 12 and 13. I'm going to read verse 11, but can I ask, Abby, can you switch all the heaters off? It's so stuffy in here. I know we've used up all the oxygen praising. Are you stuffy? A little bit? No? Maybe it's just me preaching up a... Thanks, love. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, or declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me. Why does God give you plans? God does God give you vision? Because you'll call on him. Then you shall call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. What Simone was saying, the privilege of prayer, well, the wonder of prayer, the power of prayer. You'll come and pray to me and I'll listen to you. You will seek me and you'll find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Friends, as we look at positioning ourselves for the year ahead, I love this analogy that a friend of mine, Glendon, used. And it's of the following. If we had to picture, some things are going to come up on the screen and in a moment, but let me put this over here, just get myself organized a bit. All of you relate to coffee cups. But if I had to look at this here, when we experience God's mercy, God's favor, when we experience God's love, his grace, think of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. When we experience those things, we think that's it. That's it. This is God. And friends, it is God, but it's the benefits. It's the benefits more than the actual source. And so I want to show you a couple of thoughts by way of an illustration. So where do those benefits come from? Where do they come from? They come from God. God's the source of love, joy, peace, patience. And they're the fruits of life, and they're the fruits of the Spirit of God. So when I look at the fruits or the benefits, they can be like the sprinkler. And Jed can put up a picture of a sprinkler. How many of you, you probably don't need a sprinkler in this nation because it's always raining. How many of you own a sprinkler? Don't own up. Probably not too many of you. But this is something in South Africa that's in fact, there's water restrictions, so you can't use sprinklers. But it's something in a country that needs or lacks water. And we can just rely on that. Well, let's see where we can get a few drips and a few sprinkles. But friends, there's so much more. And so when God is the source, he's like the thunderous great waterfall. So if God is like this jug, we've just got to position ourselves. Friends, it's position and posture. Position ourselves. You see, if I had to open this here, and I will, whoops, break it. And we just kind of, we're over here somewhere, and you've got to position yourself to come under and receive from what God's got. And friends, you could do this. Well, I'm positioned right here. I could come into church and just like, well, what's God got for me today, you know? And God's always speaking. And this word comes and it can just kind of bounce off you. There's nothing more irritating in the dishwasher to have a cup that's got a lip, because when you kind of pull it out the dishwasher and water is everywhere. But that's what our lives can be. That's not any position, that's posture. So in the posture, it's like that's not helpful. This is helpful. Because God's got more and God wants to pour out more. And so when I look at No, I won't trip that. See, there's more refreshing. There's more life than that we've ever experienced. The fruits of God are, or the fruits of the Spirit are important, but they're not the focus. Don't focus on the fruits. Focus on God and the fruits follow. And we're to position ourselves. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, because that's focus. Fix our eyes on Jesus. He's the author. He's the perfecter of our faith. And so when we look to his word, that's the final authority. And you can say to me this morning, but I'm not hearing God. But that's kind of like saying, well, I'm not receiving text messages and your phone's off. If you're not looking at God's word, how can you be receiving from God? How can you be hearing from God? Because it speaks through his word. He's given his word to us. It's his word. It's not my preach. It's his word. So I think sometimes it's just a simple thing. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. So if you come under duress, and some of you may be under duress this morning. You're here because you expect it, or you want, or you're here. So you think, well, I'm here, but I'm under duress. I could have been sleeping in. It's cold, it's wet, it's, you know, I could be snug as a bug in a rug. I could be somewhere else. Don't have bugs. No bugs. So those kind of things for me, friends, are, it's like the word comes, and as I said, it can just bounce off us. Because if you think of that parable, the seed of God's word can fall in rocky places. And what happens? Boing! You know, or well-worn paths. Well, I've heard that before. I've heard that Jeremiah 29:11 every year. I've heard it my whole life. You know, I could quote it. But boing! It's like, has it penetrated? Boing! You know, it's just this well-worn path, this passage, you know, it's really well-worn. That scripture is like, I've heard it again, it's just boing, boing. And it's like God's trying to penetrate our hearts and our lives. And so posture is critical. And I suppose posture of humility goes with teachability. Does that make sense? Teachability. God gives grace to the humble, but he opposes the proud. And so as we humble ourselves under God's mighty hand, he will lift us up in due time. And humility isn't thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. It's just where your focus, where your thoughts go. And this Psalm 9 that's on the board outside, this is the version from the Amplified Bible. And they who know your name will lean on you and confidently put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. I love that. It's like God's not going to let you go. So if we look at positioning and posture, praising, that's something that God was saying to us this morning. Sing the praises of the Lord. It's also from Psalm 9, verse 11. Then proclaiming. So praising, proclaiming. Proclaim among the nations what he's done. Friends, that's what God's got for us. Verse 11. And then praying. Those three things that have come through strongly this morning. Praising, proclaiming, and praying. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. He does not ignore the cry of the afflicted. Are you feeling like you're afflicted in some measure? God's a God who hears our cries and answers. And we can relax and let God be God because our God reigns. So what are you resolving to do this year? I don't know. I don't know if you've got some resolutions or if you've got some goals that you're setting. But we have to position ourselves to do that. And why are we here? Why are you on planet Earth? To breathe in oxygen and breathe out carbon dioxide. Take up space. No, no, God's put you here. And I look at the following. I think we're called to love God and to love people and to make disciples of nations. That's kind of our, I suppose, if you had to say, what's our vision as a church or what's our mission as a church, that would be tied in on that. But what else? To know God and to make him known. That's pretty simple. That's a simple statement, can be remembered. To know God and to make him known. And so that love reaches communities. A picture of this for me was our neighbor's got an ornament. How many of you know those wicker hearts? You know, the ones that are with a little heart, sometimes a heart inside a heart. I don't know how that works, but the wicker heart, it got blown over to our side of the fence because it blows in Liverpool, the wind blows wherever it pleases. And it blew the heart and it blew the love into our neighborhood, into our God. Well, then they took it back again. But I just felt that picture was like, God, help us to carry your love in the wind of the Spirit. Help us to take your love to the neighbors. Hey, it's a beautiful picture there. If I had, I was going to take a picture and then the neighbor took it back. It was on our side of the fence and he took it back. And then I looked this morning and I was going to pull it back and take a photo. And then I saw he's like, oops, like, what's our neighbor doing looking over the fence, about to steal my ornament, take a picture, put it back. Confession, strange people. But that's the picture. So if we want to make God known, it's passion, it's, I suppose, as a people, passionately seek God and to make his name known, to make the gospel known. And then God's glorified. This is all about his glory. So as a community of people, I think sometimes we're overwhelmed with this gift of salvation. And that came through this morning. Where would we be? Thank you, Lord. Margaret's prayer, 30 years plus ago. And we're on a mission to seek and save lost people and to build a church that will last for eternity. So as a people, we're committed to passionate worship. You would have seen that this morning. We're committed to Bible preaching, Bible plus nothing, and the Bible minus nothing. Unlike the one Bible interpreter or translator, he was trying to translate that and he translated it incorrectly, the Bible more or less. No, that's not what we're saying. It's not the Bible more or less. It's the Bible plus nothing and the Bible minus nothing. If it's not in the Bible, come chat to me. Say, where did you get that? Where did that come from? And then also to meet with God. We come to meet with God and then meet with each other and fellowship together. And so this week, there's connect groups. We also meet in small groups. And I want to encourage you because that's where we do life together. And I think there's a group starting at the... at Chris and Emily's this week at their home. So you're welcome on a Thursday evening, 7 p.m. 7:30. And we're also meeting this week and Wednesday. I'm trusting my wife's not going to be full of cold, but she'll be able to host this week. And also, Johnny, and Thursday. Thursday, 7? 7:30. We should all just make it 7:30. There you go. 7:30 across the board. Settled. And so, it's where we meet new people. We build authentic relationships in these groups. We share experiences with people and we share our walk with God. That's got to be encouraging. It has to be. It's got to be fleshed out. The application of what God's doing, what God's saying in your life and so that we can bring, it's application of God's word into our lives. And the mix is great. The mix is growing. And the mix is on the move. So we've got a Youth Freedom for Christ course that we've managed to secure. And I'm very excited about that because it's brilliant. It's going to be something that's developed along with Youth for Christ, and it's interactive. I'm very excited about that. So please spread the word. And maybe I've limited my faith in ordering the materials I have, but I think we're going to see a lot of young people impacted this year. And it's where young people grow in their relationships. They grow in their walk with God. And they build lifelong relationships in an authentic way, friends. This is not kind of, I pray, real people living out real lives. And so also, I believe involvement spells belonging. Do you agree with me? Involvement spells or equals belonging. So volunteering is a great way to get involved, to build good friendships and also to help build into the kingdom of God. So there's all sorts of areas you can get involved this year. From children's work, we'd have to go through some DBS checks. But other than that, there's serving teams, there's hosting teams, there's welcoming teams, there's catering teams, there's cleaning teams, there's everything you can and in between. So I really encourage you this year. And then finally, save people, serve people, so that serve people can be saved. Can I repeat that? Save people, serve people, so that serve people can be saved. Sounds like a Dr. Zeus. And friends, as we grow in God, I want to challenge you as well. If you've given your life to Christ and you haven't yet been baptized, that's the next step of obedience. Baptism is not an optional extra. It's a command that God gives us. It's a public declaration of your personal decision to make Jesus Lord and Savior of your life. And many of you have done that. And so friends, there are a number of things I was going to share on vision. And I think I'm going to just cut to the chase. I'm going to cut towards the last few thoughts that I have here. And I'll save it for next week. I'll save the best for next week. Until you know what you're willing to die for, you're not ready to live. You're just existing. Can I repeat that? Until you know what you're willing to die for, you're not ready to live. You're just existing. That's Rick Warren. And so will you stand for truth this year? Christ lived and died for you. Will you live and die for him? And if I summed it up in 3 points, live holy, live hungry for God, and live for the harvest. That's something to live for. Live holy, live hungry for God, and live for the harvest. Because when we say live holy, be holy even as your Heavenly Father is holy. That's a life without compromise. From the beginning, God's plan was to make you like His Son. From the very beginning. Have you ever thought this? To make you like His Son, Jesus. God announced His intention at creation. That's way back in Genesis 3. God said, let us make human beings in our image and likeness. So what does the full image and likeness of God look like? It looks like Jesus Christ. Just like Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus is the exact image or likeness of God. The visible image of the invisible God. The exact representation of His being. Who doesn't want to be in love with Jesus? And then live hungry for God. We've spoken about posture and position. Position and posture. And then living for the harvest. That's fruitfulness. Friends, you may be going through a tough time, and many people are. So when you're facing a test, the teacher is silent. Think about that for a moment. When you're facing a test, the teacher is silent. Because many people say, I'm going through a tough time. I can't hear God. It's like, where's God? He isn't speaking to me. Well, maybe there's a test that's happening right there. And maybe He's already put His word in you, and He's waiting to see what you're going to do with that word, that truth. Are you going to stand on that truth? Are you going to respond in that truth? And are you going to take a stand? Because every test reveals our hearts and our lives. All that I've seen of God teaches me to trust Him for what I don't know. All I've seen of God in the light teaches me to trust God in the dark. Maybe you're facing something of a darkness, and we prayed and we praised into that this morning. And I want to trust that without vision, people perish. People throw off restraint. People give themselves over to stuff, the wrong stuff. And so vision is critical, friends. And if I had more time this morning, I would spend that focusing on vision. And what is vision? To me, vision is an inspired hope of a preferable future. So what do you see this morning in God? Let us see through new eyes. Let us see in a new light. Let us see God for what He has for you and for me and for His people and for His church and for this nation. Because God has got plans for this nation. I believe it. If He's got plans for you, He's certainly got plans for this nation and for this church. Because you are the church. And if He's got plans for you, that outworks and that plans for the church. And so I want to encourage you this week or this to really incline your heart towards God, speak to me. What are you saying? What are you saying to your church? What are you saying to me? And because you are God's workmanship. You are God's handiwork. You are God's masterpiece, as the New Living Translation puts it, Ephesians 2:10. You are God's masterpiece. Can you say that? I'm God's masterpiece. It's easier to say I'm God's workmanship because He's just done a work on me, you know. But to say I'm God's masterpiece, it's like I'm God's handiwork. And God's a master architect. He's a great craftsman. He's working in our lives. Thanks, Jed. You put that scripture up for me. Yeah, kind of eating into next week's message a bit. But friends, bless you. I know that there's so much more that God's going to do in our lives and through our lives. And are you excited? Are you anticipating the greater things that are yet to come? To be done in the city, to be done through this church, into nations, into many places. Regenerate's happening in a few months, in April, in Scotland. And so we've let the mix know about that. And there's a mission going through to Uganda in April as well.
Same time, I think.
Yeah, around the same time. Good. A bruised reed he'll not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. I hope you know that this morning. I hope you leave with that assurance in your heart. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for Your life in us. That life, Christ in us, the hope of glory. God, thank You for the life that You've given us. That abundant life, that Zoe life, that life that springs up. God, that is a resurrection life. It's a life that raised You from the dead and can quicken us and will quicken us physically, emotionally, spiritually. It will quicken us in every way possible. Quicken us to your purposes, quicken us to Your will, quicken us even to Your word. As we read Your word, it will come alive to us and it will speak to us and it will be rhema. God, I thank You for the rhema. I thank You, Lord, that there'd be revelation that comes to Your people this year. God, there's nothing that You can't do through a people that are caught up with You. When I think of even Esther, when she was facing great opposition and said to Mordecai, this could cost me my life. If I perish, I perish. Friends, that's a faith commitment. This year is going to take faith commitments. Martin Luther, when facing his accusers and having to stand on the word of God and saying, I can do no other but stand on the word and appeal to that word. Friends, that's a faith commitment. If the word says it, I believe it, settles it. I can't go back on the word. I can't compromise the word of God. I can't compromise my faith and my convictions. Lord, I pray this year that we would be a people without compromise, that we're a people of conviction, a people that live holy, that people who live hungry, and a people who live for the harvest, live fruitful, live beyond ourselves. We're not living for ourselves, Lord. We're living for you and for your kingdom, to know you and to make you known. God, I pray that that would be our call, that would be our cry, that would be our life this year. God, that we would live for you, crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but the life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. And Lord, I pray that this would be something of who we are. And people would say, as they see you, by this love, by the love showed among us, by the love shared among us, they will know that we are your disciples. By our love for one another, help us to love you and love others and love the world. In Jesus' name, amen.